Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
See how easy it is to go from Thanksgiving to Tinder, though?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm John R. Bray.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And it's the week of Thanksgiving. Somehow, we are already at the end of November.
Somehow.
I don't know. I don't know how we're here.
Well, you're...
But as it was approaching, I just remembered how much I dread now juggling holidays.
I don't dread Thanksgiving. I dread Christmas, for sure.
Do you like Thanksgiving, or you just don't dread it?
I enjoy sitting around and eating and knowing that nobody else is working. So that means that like, I don't need to be checking my email because I know that nobody's sending me email. I like knowing that the whole country is like not busy. There's something very comforting for my anxiety, knowing that everybody else is sitting around eating and not working. Does that make sense?
It totally does. But that's a Christmas thing too, though, right?
Yeah, but Christmas is, there's so many expectations around Christmas, so much work that goes into it as a parent, and to make sure that, you know, you're giving your kids the proper Christmas memories, there's just a lot of pressure, I think. Whereas Thanksgiving, it's just, you know, chill, hang out, try not, oh, okay, so every, the talk.
Try not to piss anyone off.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of talk about how uncomfortable Christmas is, or Thanksgiving is going to be for certain families because of the whirlwind of shit that has happened in the last, since November 8th of last year.
Right, yes.
And how do we approach those conversations? And I just read a GQ article about how we're supposed to, as if we really want to be the political warriors and the humane warriors that we're supposed to be, that we need to ruin Thanksgiving dinner for those who voted for Trump and believe in his policies. And I actually read a tweet yesterday from someone who said, my parents didn't vote for Trump because I wasn't raised by monsters.
Yeah. It's such a hard... I mean, we've talked about this several times because we're both passionate Trump supporters, but it's a really hard concept to accept and follow when you do have people in your family who voted for Trump that are not monsters. And it's hard to get people to understand that there were genuinely a lot of people who were not garbage that voted for him, for one reason or another. And I think there are also a lot of people that realized fairly quickly that things didn't quite pan out how they thought.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that this blanket hostility, referring to every single Trump supporter as worthless, is...
Well, I also don't think that I'm going to convince my family of anything by screaming at them over a meal that they have taken 2 days to prepare. My family is deeply, deeply entrenched in what they believe. It's a barricade. There's no reasoning. There's no reasoning with it. It's the pointing out, the incongruity for me is that what is taking place is so awful. It is clearly, patently, objectively awful. And yet, certain people in my life who are objectively wonderful are somehow pretzeling themselves into accepting what's happening and thinking, well, and maybe it's the whole, I think with my family in particular, I think that they are trusting in God and that God is not going to let anything bad happen to them.
Okay, so let's just assume that that's true. Let's just say that's the case. Isn't there some aspect of God or Christianity or Mormonism that also says you should care about other people?
Absolutely.
Like,
well, I mean, God will take care of those other people.
Well, clearly that's not happening.
Clearly that's not happening, but we have to have faith.
That is...
Oh. Right.
I really struggle. I feel like faith is a cop-out.
Yes.
Like, you don't really have an explanation or an answer, and you can't really stomach it, so you hide behind faith, which no one can really argue against. So the conversation ends.
Right. So you're not responsible for taking care of your fellow man, your fellow human, excuse me, that wasn't feminist, of your fellow human, of your fellow woman. Like, you're that's right. Not your responsibility. It's, you know,
but it is.
Leave it into the hands of God to make it happen. My friend Leah has written extensively about her anger over this issue with her Mormon family, because that's her Mormon family is the same way. Well, I have faith that God won't let anything bad happen. Yeah, I don't think that screaming at my family or even coming calmly at them with facts and figures and, you know, stories of people's lives being ruined, I don't think that it's just not even going to move the needle on Thanksgiving.
I mean, it sounds like the tone of that article in GQ was already kind of off. I mean, if your goal is to ruin Thanksgiving, that's not really the point. Mm-hmm. Like, you've kind of missed the point. And I think, I don't remember who I've had these conversations with. I think I was talking to my dad about it for a while, that I think sometimes the point is just to start to have conversations in a way where your goal is not to change their perspective or get them to change sides, but to simply have a conversation and have them listen. I'm totally guessing, but I feel like there was a point, you know, 50 or 60 years ago where people could talk politics without getting venomous about it. But it's gotten to the point now where anytime someone criticizes either political party, the walls go up, the conversation turns to shit, and no one gets anywhere and they just dig in their heels. Mm-hmm. And I feel like part of this goal needs to be a longer term goal to try and open these discussions so that you can sit down with a Trump supporter and listen to what they have to say and disagree and share your opinion. And they might disagree, but at least the dialogue is then open and is starting to create the possibility for change. And maybe in a way that's naive, but I think without actually being able to have dialogue, we're totally screwed.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I think in my experience, leading by example has been the most effective way of communicating my political stance on things. I think we've talked about this before. My former assistant would see me hanging out with a friend and he would be like, oh, that's going to be your next casualty.
Oh, God.
There are about 6 or 7 of my family and friends who were very, very Mormon, very young, very, you know, had bought into the theology and the cultural norms of it, which is very, very conservative. Just by being around me a lot and being around me as a mother and me as a friend, like, those 7 people have left the church and have completely become crusaders for human decency. not that I'm like this, like, I am the figure for human decency, but they've all said to me, like, I can't believe that I used to think that way. And I watched their transformation take place. And it wasn't me badgering them. It was just sort of this absorption of, wait a minute, you know, Heather does these things and Heather is living her life this way. And Heather has satisfaction in this. And as, I mean, they were all like 19 and 20 and 21 when they were hanging around me. Cousins and Cammie. Everybody knows Cammie. Cammie used to be a diehard Mormon, man. And I think she'd be okay with me saying this, but we would hang out. She was 19 years old when we first met. We would hang out. We were instantly best friends, and like she was my little sister. And years later, after she left the church, she came to me and she was angry. And she was like, why didn't you say something to me? Why? Why did you just let me be that way? And I was like, well.
Oh, like she wished she had left sooner.
Yeah. And I said, gotcha. I was like, Cammie, that is a decision. And that is a realization that you have to come to on your own. And I feared that if I tried to sway you in any way other than just being myself, that you would resent me for that. And I said, you coming to these realizations is part of your growth. This is part of your transformation. It's something that you have to come to.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I read quite a bit about how if we have a pedophile, a repeat offender pedophile that they're going to vote into the Senate, how do you...
If true. Come on now.
How do you argue? You can't, there's nothing you can say to a person who is going to justify that. What can you say to that person?
No, and there are people, I mean, I do think there are people that are beyond, that have put the walls up, and the walls are going to stay up, and they're going to be up until the day they die. And I think it's not necessarily, you know, a full blanket, but I think it's definitely true for older generations because they've held these views for so long. But even when you look at Moore, they interviewed people in Alabama that said flat out, even if these allegations are proven to be true, which I believe they are, but even if they're proven, I'm still going to vote for him because he's not a Democrat.
Yeah.
It's beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
Like somehow being a Democrat is worse than being a pedophile. That is incredibly problematic. it feels like common sense to me. And the fact that it's not for some people is mind-boggling.
Well, and the same people are the ones who think that God is going to take care of everything, except God wouldn't stand for this. God,
no.
Their Jesus, the Jesus that they believe in, the God that they believe in, wouldn't stand for this. And those are the same people who think that God's going to take care of everything. It makes no sense to me. But there's nothing, there's no reasoning with that.
No, and I do think with some people there isn't. I mean, you look at like Cammie.
Mm-hmm.
She was pretty set on her views, a pretty diehard Mormon. And her views changed. But I think a lot of times what happens is she was 19. If you had met her when she was 59,
right?
That has been so true to her that it's like it's changing your entire identity, which I think for some people, even if they recognize that maybe this isn't the best path, it's so terrifying to jump ship onto a totally different path because you've never known it. Which is problematic in the sense that I think people attach so much of their identity to other identities that becomes really difficult. Mm-hmm. So you are such a diehard Republican. You can't imagine doing anything else, but a Republican is not who you are. A Democrat is not who you are. A Mormon is not who you are. It's part of you. So there's all these other pieces, and it's not like to abandon one or to change your view on one changes you as a person. Across the board, it changes a piece. And I think for some people, that's kind of hard to see.
Yeah.
Not that personal change is easy for anybody. I'm not like some sort of personal change expert. God, I'm terrible at it. But I think that is a piece of it.
The work that we have to do is to love those of us who are in our lives who cannot be reasoned with. Like, you know, I loved Cammie. Despite the fact that she was a diehard Mormon and disagreed with every political view that I had, I loved her. I nourished that relationship. And it was through that love and that trust that she was able to sort of critically think her way out of things. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Well,
and I'll say this about my mother. I mean, my mother is 72 years old. And a few years ago, I wrote about a book called, we've talked about this before, The Warmth of Other Suns, about the great migration from of Black Americans from the South to the Northeast into Chicago, into Detroit, to Los Angeles. And I mean, that book is just the most eye-opening. I mean, everybody, it should be required reading for every American. And because of my relationship with my mother, because I love her, because we have this very loving, nourishing energy between us, she took me to dinner a couple of nights after I wrote the post, and she said, I read what you rewrote, and I was very touched by it, and she got tears in her eyes, and she was like, I feel like I need to examine some of the beliefs that I held and some of the beliefs that I put onto you. And it was like this, like, it was a tiny little shift, but it was tectonic in nature for my 72-year-old mother to go, wait a minute, maybe I had some wrong beliefs back then, and maybe I put those beliefs on my child.
Yeah, that's huge.
Huge. I mean, I did not see that coming. It like almost knocked me over.
Then I guess I wonder, you know, looking at something like Thanksgiving, I think we have two extremes where you're leading by example. I mean, you didn't write that post calling out your family. You didn't expect your mom to see the world differently. That was just your view and you shared it. And then you've got this GQ article that is basically like declare war at the Thanksgiving table,
yes.
Which is not going to work. It's going to have the opposite effect. Sure, you're going to ruin Thanksgiving, but you're also going to ruin it for the people that agree with you. And the people that don't are going to shut down.
And you just...
So I feel maybe there is an in-between, like a little more proactive with sharing the thoughts, but again, not in a, this is what I believe, so you have to believe it kind of way, but this is what I believe, let's talk about what you believe. Let's have a discussion about it.
Well, I think if you show up to destroy Thanksgiving, then you're shutting down the progress that you've made. You're shutting down the conversation, period. And you're setting it, you're setting it back. Like you're setting it way back. But yeah, I mean, last year I told my, after the election, when we had Thanksgiving, I told my mother, I said, if anybody starts in, I'm leaving.
I remember that. Yeah.
And the same holds true here. Like, okay, we're going to get together as a family over this traditional meal that we have. And, you know, let's talk about our children.
Right. I wish there was a way to say, you know, we can talk about politics, but it's not an argument about politics, and it's not trying to convince people of your politics. It's just talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the country is at a point now where this, and I'm sure that we've talked about this because this comes up so much, that this isn't political in the sense that it has anything to do with parties. And I'm frustrated when you see these statements like the GOP is trying to do this or the Democrats are trying to do this. It's just shitty people trying to do shitty things. Like there are good Republican people out there. There are good Democrats. There are bad Republicans. There are bad Democrats. It's not a matter of the party. It's not that being associated with this particular party makes you garbage. You just are garbage if that's how you want to be. And I think people throw up these political party walls and that's it. You know, if it weren't for the Democrats doing this and if it weren't for the Republicans, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
No, I follow.
I really don't think it does now.
I follow the Twitter algorithm now is just throwing up all political stuff for me. I have to dig for funny tweets now. And it's like every day I follow news anchors and political correspondents and all of them every day are like, what the fuck is happening? What the fuck is happening? Over and over again. Like there's a part of me that is feeling a lot of peace again going into this weekend where I know that nobody else is working. We're going to be sending the email demanding a deadline. And also, like, I can just turn off Twitter and not read the angst and the anxiety for a few days and maybe get some sleep and catch up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're planning on getting sleep, that means you do not have your children.
I do not have my children. My children are going to New York. They leave in a few hours. After we record, I have to go check them out of school, and I'm wondering if I'm going to lie on behalf of my ex-husband. I may just put ex-husband is taking children out of state.
There you go.
They're going to New York, and normally what I would do is travel. But, you know, I haven't been on a plane in over a month, and it's been really, really nice.
And travel around Thanksgiving, regardless of where you go, is miserable.
It is. Actually, when I took the kids to school this morning, we were backing out of the driveway, and the thought just occurred to me, and I was like, I am so happy that I don't have to get on a plane today. And she's like, shut up! That's mean, Mom! And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like the worst weekend, right, to travel, Thanksgiving?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I've done it a few times, and it's not fun.
You've taken them to New York.
Two years ago, I took them to New York. Okay. Yeah, I was dating somebody in New York, and I took them, and then I spent the weekend with him, and then I took them back.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm no longer seeing him, so...
Okay.
This is we're going to get into Heather's love life.
We can jump right back into that. We can talk about Tinder. We haven't covered Tinder in a while.
Have you gotten a Tinder profile?
No, because you need a Facebook account, and I still don't have a
Oh, my God.
I know. It's probably for the best, honestly. I mean, I think over the last 2.5 years, I've downloaded it, I don't know, half a dozen times, just because either I forget that they require Facebook, or I think maybe they've changed it. And last I had checked, they hadn't.
I haven't been on Tinder in a very, very, very long time.
Like last weekend? No,
it's been... I mean, I got on Tinder when I was in France to meet locals. It was a really great way to meet locals. Like, they showed me the city. It was amazing. So that was pretty much the last time I was on it was back in July.
And that's a totally non-Tinder use of Tinder.
I know. Except that
I mean, it's good. If it worked, it's great. It's just very non-traditional.
Well, I had heard, I had read somewhere that that's what some people would do when they would travel alone, is meet locals through Tinder. Because not every Tinder date is, you know, intended to end romantically, you know. Especially if you're in a city where... You're like, what happened was my excitement about being in France was like, I have no poker face. So I was literally like a fucking kid on Christmas. And these guys would be like, oh my God, she loves my city. I'm going to go show her this. And I'm going to go show her this. And that's what it ended up being. It was like, they were so excited to show this little kid these amazing things. So.
Right. So it totally worked.
Yeah. We just spiraled way off topic.
We did. We see how easy it is to go from Thanksgiving to Tinder, though?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great, actually.
Yeah, so I'm not seeing that guy from New York anymore. I took my kids to, that was 2015. I have them for Christmas this year. So my...
Right, that's what you do. Like, he has them for one, you have them for the other. Okay.
So I intend to sleep and then sleep some more. And then sleep some more.
That's a good way to do it. You're not going to Black Friday shop?
No. I don't enjoy shopping.
You could get to Walmart at midnight.
Oh, no.
Actually, I think they open on Thanksgiving now.
Why? What was it? Saturday, Lita had gone to the mall with her friend. This is still a thing. Lita had gone to the mall with her friend. So I was at home with Marlo, and I needed to go to Trader Joe's to get some of my food, and I'm like, Marlo, you need to put your shoes on. She's like, I'm not going. I'm like, I can't leave you here alone. Someone will find out, and Deuce will get in trouble. So go put your shoes on.
Oh my God.
And she is super, super grumpy. I'm like, we're going to Trader Joe's. It's not like I'm asking you to like carry a like walk across the plains like the Mormons did. Like,
and honestly, that's like the best possible grocery store to go to as a kid.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of fun. They have samples. The people are really nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, compared to your average grocery store, it's pretty great.
And as we're like, as I'm grabbing some sugar snap peas, I turned to her and I said, what is wrong? And she's like, I hate shopping.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, you're my kid. You're my kid. I love you so much.
As her sister is at the mall.
Right.
Oh, wow. Did Lita like it when she was younger, though? I feel like it's a thing at that age.
Yeah, I think it's a thing at this age. As they get older, you know, they're more malleable to, like, oh, we have responsibilities. Like, we actually have to go shop for food. It just doesn't appear in the refrigerator.
Right.
I get you. So, do you have Lexton?
I do not.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, God. I hate the holidays. I will go as high on this road as possible. It's always just a cluster. I mean, every year since 2015, it's been a cluster, and this year is clearly not going to be any exception. So he's off all week. They have the entire week off for Thanksgiving, which is great for him.
Wait, is that normal?
Yes, in this district, it's not like a statewide thing. There are districts that are, you know, 10 miles from here that don't. I think normal anymore is like Wednesday.
Right.
When I was in school, it was just Thursday, Friday.
That was the same for me.
Which I know was a huge pain in the ass, because then if you actually wanted to travel, your option was travel on Thanksgiving or travel Wednesday night.
Right.
Which, depending on where you live, and I grew up where there's a lot of snow usually in November, it was awful. So I get the whole Wednesday thing, but the whole week, and the reason they do it is because they build in conferences and meetings and all this other stuff. So for the school districts, I'm sure it's great. But for people who work, it is a little rough.
It's super rough.
Granted, he's older. It's not like I'm caring for a four-year-old, but still, he's home and he wants to meet with friends, and obviously he can't drive, so there's shuttling and there's this and that, and it's could be great to share that responsibility, but that doesn't happen. So that automatically makes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday rough.
Mm-hmm.
But then I figured Heather or Hex has Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, so of course He'll be there Wednesday night, and he can spend Thanksgiving with her and do that. However, that is a little too much commitment, it seems. So, he will be with me Thursday morning, and with Heather Thursday, like late morning, early afternoon, and then back with me Thursday evening. And then back with Heather Friday afternoon for the weekend.
Okay.
Now, that is fucking ridiculous. However, the best part about this is that he will not be staying there the night of Thanksgiving because she would like to Black Friday shop.
Oh my God. What?
Yes.
Like, she actually gets up and goes out?
Yep. Yep. That is what
oh
she
my
does.
God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I also got the comment that, oh, I wish I could remember exactly how she said it. Something like, it's just really hard because this is, like, my only long weekend. And I said, yeah, you do know that I also have a job that requires me to work. So this is also my only long weekend. So that argument means nothing. Like, it's a holiday with a kid.
Yeah.
So finally I just said, you know what? He can just spend Thanksgiving with me. I said, I'd be happy to spend it with him. I have friends that I can spend it with. I have family if I want to travel a short distance. It's not a big deal. I said, it's a holiday, so I'm happy to be with my child. Oh, no, I can do it for like 6 hours.
Oh my God.
It was not a very high road, but I fucking hate the holidays. I just, trying to juggle them is absurd. And I started talking about this with her probably a month ago.
Okay, yeah.
Just saying, I don't need an answer right now today, but in the next week or two, we need to get this figured out because it's a holiday and there's stuff going on. And we just figured it out 2 days ago. So like 4 days before Thanksgiving. And by we just, I sent her a text and I said, I need to understand what is happening now.
Okay. So I think I would love to hear from other single parents about this, full-time single parents about this. Is it because we have them the vast majority of the time that we're the ones who are like, can you please give me the information? Because I would like to plan my life. Whereas,
right,
like, and there's no urgency on the part of the other person to get you that information because they don't understand the rigorous routine that you have to maintain. Is that what goes on? Because I'm in the same boat where it's like, when are you coming and when are they leaving? I haven't done it yet. Okay, well, we're 2 weeks right out. Are you going to let me know?
And he has to book travel. Like,
he has to book travel.
That's a whole separate step.
Oh, yeah.
Which I imagine that this is on him, but it just gets more expensive.
Okay.
So I don't understand.
Well, so he was going to make them travel by themselves. And I stepped in and I went to the therapist, and I think we may have talked about this, and the therapist said to him, no, not a good idea. Not a good idea at all, given what my kids have been through. So they had a piano federation where they play in front of judges. And that was a week ago, Saturday. I get a text message from him as he's on his way to the airport the night before that says, I'm coming. I'll be there tomorrow. And I'm not leaving Utah until I take them to Thanksgiving.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So just to make sure everyone's clear, this is like 12 days before Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I didn't even know he was coming for Federation until the day before, as he's going to the airport. That's when he communicated that to me. I remember him being absent-minded. I'm taking the really, really low road, but I wrote about him being absent-minded. That was part of, I've written quite extensively about it. I don't think that he's doing it maliciously. I don't. It's just part of it's one part of his absent-mindedness. And two, like you and I, he doesn't have to maintain this rigorous, like running on the treadmill that we do all the time, where having that information is really helpful in terms of like not inserting like a stick into the spoke of a bicycle wheel.
Yes. And I think it's the same with Heather. It's not a malicious, like I'm going to wait until the last minute just to mess with his holiday plans. It's just this lack of comprehension that it changes everything. And she even made a comment to me because I said, I'm probably not going to go anywhere. And I'm not. I'm not traveling. I'm not going to be anywhere. And she made this comment, well, if you're not doing anything, then why does it matter? Well, because not doing anything doesn't mean I'm literally not doing a damn thing. It just means I don't have plans for the day of Thanksgiving. But I also need to know because it impacts even the little tiny details. Like, do I have his laundry ready if he's going to be there for 4 days? Like, do I have it ready on Wednesday or do I not need to have it ready until Friday? Mm-hmm. And it sounds super minor. But then when you juggle that in with everything else and with shopping for groceries for the week and with work and all of this stuff, to get this last minute notice throws everything into chaos.
Yeah.
Or like in your case, he's all of a sudden coming. So Marlo and Lita are going to want to see him, and that throws off kind of the flow of the weekend and how the week is going to look. And if he's there for 12 days, that totally throws shit off. And it's a break from the routine.
Yes.
And that's not even to say that our routines are the way things should be, but they're working.
They're working.
So when you screw with them, it screws with everything.
And I was gonna say this to you earlier as you were talking about it. You know, Lexton isn't four, right? It's not like you're trying to work at home with a four-year-old. But
no.
I will say this, like having my mom in the house and me trying to get work done is impossible. Like having my 72-year-old mother in the house makes it impossible for me to work. And that's not saying anything about her, but having somebody in your home, especially when you're in charge of that person, whether they are 4 or 10 or 18, fucks with your work ability. It totally fucks with your work ability. And so when anybody says that their child is home and they're trying to get work done, I'm like, oh God, you have my sympathy. It's just not easy. Yep.
And I mean, I will acknowledge, yes, it is easier than having to work at home with a 3 or 4 year old.
Yeah.
But it's not that suddenly he's 13 and now I don't even have to think about him for 8 hours. Like that's just not how it works. Uh-huh. And as we've talked about before, I mean, it's the same thing with Christmas break and summer break. He's on break. So I have to work, but at the same time, there's that nagging guilt. Like he's got friends who are traveling that are going, I mean, friends that are either traveling to see family or going to Hawaii or doing all this stuff. And I'm home all day. And especially now with daylight savings, it's basically, you know, when I'm finally able to say, okay, let's do something, it's dark.
It's dark.
And that sucks. And it's super deflating for him, which I totally get. But, you know, I mean, I'm just throwing this out there as an idea. Maybe she could have taken a day off to do something with him. Like, I'm just, hypothetically, that seems like that could be a good idea.
Hypothetically, yes.
But that doesn't happen.
No.
It doesn't happen. And I don't care if I don't have plans. I am honestly, there is a huge part of me that is totally delighted to not have anywhere to be on Thanksgiving. Like I can wake up and sit in one spot the entire day and no one will care. I mean, and I don't have to worry about my laptop. I don't have to do anything. I can stare at the wall. And that sounds blissful. I bought a bag of turkey and stuffing potato chips from Trader Joe's. And that is how I'm celebrating Thanksgiving.
Fantastic.
And I don't feel at all bad about it. I'm not a huge fan of Thanksgiving anyway, but at least if I can know the plans in advance, I can know when I can actually start enjoying those chips. That's ultimately what it is. And a drink. I mean, that to me is Thanksgiving. Set. It's frustrating too. And I think you're in the same boat is that, you know, I get these comments or kind of roundabout remarks about how he's always with me and she wants to spend more time and that's fine. That's totally great. Here is your opportunity. Oh, but you don't want to actually, because this is a free weekend for you. And I don't even know where to begin.
Well, you begin with when you had children, you basically have to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice for your children. I know it's a free weekend, but you know, hello, you made the choice to have a child. Hello.
Right.
Hello.
And when you do that, I mean, with few exceptions, you are giving up free weekends for 18 years. Like you really don't have them at all, or at least for the first 14 or so. And somehow, now that we're on this schedule where I do everything, these weekends have become like this coveted commodity for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, no, this is my free weekend. Yeah, that doesn't exist though.
Right.
It doesn't. I mean, I know, like, when he's not with me, I know the freedom that provides. I get it, but that's not what you signed up for. So if you happen to get one, great. But if you don't complain about it because you acknowledged that 13 years ago. I'm now totally on a low road and a rant.
I'll go in with you. So I wrote about this on Saturday night. I went to bed at like 10. For some reason, my kids woke up and they always make noise, and this house is small enough that whenever they make noise, they wake me up, but I didn't hear them. So I didn't get out of bed until almost noon, like 14 hours of sleep. I was that. So because the last 4 weeks have been like a sprint marathon of piano, book reports, parent-teacher conferences, play auditions, recitals, playing in front of judges, like has just been, and I've had like 4 deadlines and like a whole bunch of legal stuff going on. And it was just push, 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 push. So I crashed on Saturday night, woke up, I had no idea where I was. But
that's awesome.
So we were all standing in the hallway outside of the room where Marlo was going to go play her piece in front of the judges. And John is there. My mother is there. My stepfather's there. My mother walked over to John and said, "Hey, if you could let me know what the girls need packed for New York, that would help. And we'll get them packed and we'll get them ready for you." And the first thing he said to her was, "Well, where's Heather going? Was Heather traveling?" And my mom looked at him and just...
Oh, my God.
All hail the Avon World sales leader. She kind of shook her head and was like, "John, do you have any idea what her life is like? Do you have any idea what she has to juggle? I am just helping her pack her children to send away for a holiday. Do you have any idea what she has to do on a daily basis?" And he was like, okay, yeah, okay, I can see that. But she like lost her, she's like, "I almost lost my mind."
So his real issue is like, why are you packing them?
I'm trying to work and I'm trying to pack 2 children to leave to a different climate for 6 days. And, you know, making sure they have hats and gloves and 4 different pairs of shoes. They're going to be running a race and then also attending a formal event. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. A lot.
But even that question, it doesn't matter.
No.
Like you could have been sitting in a lounge chair in the Bahamas. It makes no difference. Like at all. Oh my God. No. But that is, I think, it's the same thing that I experience. And I don't know. I guess I tell myself it's not intentional and maybe it is. I'm not sure. But it's like as soon as you are perceived as having like taken one step back, you have to justify it.
Uh-huh.
Like, are you going to be gone? Why didn't you do it? Couldn't you have done it? And honestly, first of all, fuck off. I mean, seriously, I do it all the time. Like all of the things, all of the time, from the time I wake up until the time I go to bed. With the exception, in my case, of a period of time that is not even 48 hours twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something that isn't done, just deal with it. Like I don't need to explain it. It's just not happening. But I still need to know what the plan is. Even like a generalized plan. I don't even need specifics. I just need generally speaking. You know? And then, oh God. It was the day of, like, that's going to be the plan. Now, she has tons of family here, so she has several options in terms of where they could spend Thanksgiving, what they could do. Lexton wants to know, like, are we going to this aunt's house or that aunt's house, or is mom going to cook, or what are we doing? I found that out yesterday.
Yesterday.
So, like 3 days before Thanksgiving, I finally am able to provide that information. And that is just, I don't need to know your meal. Just say, he will be with me, we will be cooking. Or he will be with me and we're going to my friend's house. I don't even care whose house. Just that way I can tell him you're going to be with mom and you're going somewhere for Thanksgiving. But that is apparently a difficult thing to provide sometimes.
Or she could do the, she could just communicate through him to you. That's what she could do, which is what happens here.
Really?
I hear about things through Lita. I'm like, oh, that's happening? Okay. I'm glad to know that that major thing is happening. Okay. Good to know.
God.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, if you wait a day or two, you don't ever get the information from him?
No, that was, no, like the Federation thing. Lita had said something like, Dad said that he was going to try to come out for Federation. That was never communicated to me through him. Never. Not until he was on his way to get on the airplane. Again.
So now let's try to spin this into what we can be thankful
again,
for this.
I don't think it's malicious. I just think that it is, you know, I should probably tell her. Oops. You know? Spin this into what we're grateful for. I am so grateful.
But I think, though, there is a point where it's not malicious, but it's ignorant.
It's just, like, take into consideration, you know, my schedule and what I have to do. And, like, just take that into consideration just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Right. Right.
I've been seeing a whole bunch of, again, we talk about Twitter quite a bit. Everybody's just like, fuck 2017. Jesus Christ. And I can honestly say, with everything that is going on, I am so happy to not be depressed.
That is a damn good thing.
I am so happy. I can tell you now that this time last year was probably one of the worst weeks of my life. And just in terms of how depressed I was, I am so grateful to not be feeling that right now. So grateful. I'm so lucky to not be under the grip of that darkness. I will send thanks up into whoever is listening to that for that.
That is an awesome thing to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. And the sort of thing I think you can forgive some of the other shortcomings for. Yeah. maybe. Not all of them, just some.
My kids are really, really healthy. My kids are friendly. My kids are doing extraordinary. Lita got straight A's again. The second term in a row, 4.0. She's trying out for the play. She's doing wonderful in piano. Marlo is going into school by herself. Huge milestone. Like, my kids are doing really well. I didn't tell you this. I did tell you that my health insurance increased by 75%.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
I got the notice in the mail finally and had a heart attack. And then went to the website, and I am now going to be paying. It's a much, much lower plan. It doesn't provide nearly as much as the old one, but my price won't go up. So that's good news. It's huge. I mean,
well, and a big part of your old plan, I mean, a big part of your medical expenses are for therapists, right?
Right.
For the girls. So, and that wasn't covered anyway.
Wasn't covered. No.
Okay. So in that regard, your plan is kind of a wash.
Yes.
So it's the medical, like physical medical stuff.
Yeah. The copay goes up from $30 to $50. I'll just eat that. That's better than paying 75% more a month for health
like
for the premium.
Hundreds more a month. Yeah.
$600 more a month.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just. Yep.
I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to have healthcare. Dear God.
Yes. I will say, even despite the fact that my insurance really paid for nothing for my overnight in the hospital, it in some weird, strange way brought the cost down. And I'm very grateful for that.
You didn't go bankrupt.
Because really what that showed me is when people don't have any insurance, they get screwed.
They'll be in debt for years.
You don't have insurance, so we charge you more.
Yeah.
and it's infuriating. So I am very thankful that to have some kind of coverage for the first time that I really actually needed it in my life.
I am really thankful for the very sweet comments and emails from people who listen to this, who listen to our rambling and find some sort of, you know, kinship in all of this. Thank you to all of you for being here.
Yes. And the stories that you share, I mean, everything from just, you know, a comment on social media or a 2-sentence email to really, really getting into detail on some of your challenges with parenting and life as they relate to what we talked about. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it has been. I feel less alone, which is good.
I think, and that was kind of our goal, right, from the very beginning, was to start conversations that make people feel less alone or feel like they're not doing things wrong.
Yeah.
Because none of us are perfect, but I think when you realize that you're not the only one who's imperfect and you really can see that, then that's huge. And we wanted to start those conversations, but when we get these comments and these emails, it's bouncing right back to us and making us feel like, okay, so we really weren't crazy for thinking that.
No, like the bullying episode, man, I felt really, really, really shitty that weekend when the whole thing happened. And people left some comments on Facebook that I was like, oh, okay. So like, it's not just me dealing with right. All of this. Yeah. That was really comforting.
Well, and we got one, and I think I can use her, at least her first name. I mean, she doesn't say not to, but we got an email from Julie, and Julie, this was a great email. I read this waiting to pick Lexton up from school. And it was really perfect for you, Heather, because you kind of lost it confronting those boys.
I did.
And were beating yourself up for it because it really is not the right decision in the long run. And Julie emailed her own story of really completely losing it on this kid. And it's hysterical for one, but it made me feel really good because her whole message was, I'm a genuinely good person. I know this was bad. I know that I shouldn't have done it, but God, did it feel good. And I just thought it's just great. I mean, like you said, to know that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. She closed the email and says, humiliating assholes, even 11-year-old ones, is an easy rush. It doesn't solve a bigger problem, but it is delicious. And those are the sort of things that I think when you're isolated in your own world and you just look at yourself in the mirror, you think, oh my God, I'm a terrible human being for this. But then when you realize there's a ton of other people that can completely relate to that feeling, it doesn't necessarily make it less terrible, but you don't feel as terrible for it.
Yeah. An easy rush. I will say that the words that I screamed at the end as I was walking out of the room was like a high, like super, super, like I had done some sort of illegal drug. It was amazing.
Yeah. And as you're knowing the whole time, I'm sure, as you're saying those words that you shouldn't be and that it's not going to make any difference, it still felt great.
Yeah.
So clearly you're not alone there.
No.
So definitely keep the comments, the emails, keep them coming. I mean, it's awesome to have these conversations continue.
Yes.
And it's really great because so many people are at different places with this podcast. You know, people might be a few episodes behind. So to even get comments on, you know, an episode that we released 3 months ago, it kind of resurfaces that for us. And we remember those conversations and go back to it. And it's great. It really is. So thank you, everyone.
Yes. And thank you. Thank you, John. We juggle this.
Me?
Well, thank you for, you know, we have to be flexible with each other in our schedules. You know, sometimes we have to move around the recording date because this has happened or this has happened, or you wake up on the floor of Starbucks and...
God, I should be the one thanking you. No. Good Lord, I've had to move this shit around so much.
And I totally get it. I totally get it.
Solo solidarity.
Solo solidarity. Yeah.
See, we brought it around. We did. We took a small trip down that low road, but we brought it around.
We brought it around.
Yeah.
Meow. Meow.
Yeah. And as always, I mean, clearly we just told you all how much we love to hear from you. So please, if you have anything to add to anything that we talked about today, from Thanksgiving to how sweet it feels to take the low road sometimes, please reach out to us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Manic Ramblings. Or, of course, you can email us at stories@manicramblings.com.
And until next time, if you have taken the low road, please tell us about it. Please. I want to hear all about it.
I'd love it.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.